We welcome you to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We believe God has a message for you today that will encourage and speak truth to your heart and life. Let's join Pastor Melanie Bertolio as she shares the word with us today.
Oh, I got to tell y'all, we're going to have a word tonight, and the title of it is Seasons Change. Now, I came up with this, the Lord gave this word to me. I didn't come up with it, but the Lord gave this word to me several weeks ago for my next time that I was going to be preaching. I did not know that it was going to be on December 21st at the time, which happens to be the first day of winter, okay? So, the seasons are changing. I also did not know that overnight, the seasons would literally, not just, I don't know if change is a strong enough word for what I'm expecting based on what they're saying is going to happen, but I believe that makes this perhaps a very timely word, and so I'm just believing God that he's going to use this tonight. For those of us who are here, I believe he always brings exactly the right people in, the ones that he wants to hear this, and I believe that it's going to change us. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and I'm reading out of Amplified, so there's a lot of words up there, I thought I liked the way it said this. It says, "For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship, all his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense." And that's a strong word right there, because what it's saying is I should be able to look around. I should just have to walk outside and look at what has been created and know. God has put within each one of us the ability to know him just by looking at what he created. And it goes so far as to say that if you are someone who fails to believe and trust him, when you've been able to see what he created, that you are without excuse and without defense. That's pretty strong right there. But I love that he made a way for everybody. I mean, you think about that. He made a way for every person. I can tell you firsthand that my own husband can tell you that he didn't know what it was to be saved, but he knew what it was to believe in God. You know why? Because he could look around. He had eyes to see what that meant. And so God shows us himself in nature. I wonder what he's trying to show us tonight. You ever think about that? But he shows us himself in nature. Everybody has a favorite season, probably. I mean, there are some of you who are going to be, I like them all. And that's, I can get on board with that. But most people have a favorite season. They have a season that they love. Why? Because there are things about that particular season that they love. How many of y'all in here are spring people? Okay. You love, what do you love about spring? You love that things grow and everything is new. It's a beautiful season. How many are fall? All right. Lots of fall people in here. Summer. I knew Joanne's hand was going to go up. She's a California girl. She's a beach girl. There's a few summers, but not as many summers as there was fall or spring. Okay, winter. Michael Chastain, Adam, got some winter people. Yeah, everybody probably has a favorite season because there are things about it that you love, but you could also probably list a thing or two that you don't love about that particular season. You know, I love that everything's new in the spring, but when it's rained for 12 days straight, I get kind of tired of it, you know? So there's something to love and something to not love so much about every single season. So because we're talking about seasons, you might, some of you might have already guessed that we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I want to read to you, and this again is from the Amplified, although it's not nearly as wordy in the Amplified on this particular one. But in Ecclesiastes 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "There is a season, a time appointed for everything, and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war, a time for peace. What profit is there for the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the task which God has given to the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time." That's where we're going to stop. The biblical meaning of the word season is actually in the Amplified, because in parentheses in verse 1 it says there is a season, and then it says a time appointed. And a season is just that, an appointed time for something. And so as we read Ecclesiastes 3, it says there's an appointed time for each of these things, and it really just kind of hits on all the things that we go through in life, doesn't it? The things that we have to, the things that we enjoy and the things that we have to endure. I mean, I don't love reading that there is a time to weep and a time to mourn, but there is. Everything listed there because there is a time in your life for that activity. Now, to talk about seasons in their, I don't know what the right word is, but in defining a season, when we're talking about seasons in the natural, there is an astronomical start of a season, and then there is a meteorological start of a season. I didn't know this until I started studying this, but the astronomical start of a season has to do with the position of the earth in relation to the sun. The position of the earth in relationship to the sun itself. And the start of each season is either marked by a solstice or an equinox. Now, a solstice is winter and summer, and that is when the sun reaches the most southerly or northerly point in the sky. The equinox has to do with when the sun passes over the earth's equator. And so because of leap years, sometimes equinoxes and solstices are not necessarily on the same day. So the dates can shift a little bit on that. But they don't really have anything to do with the calendar. They're just based on the earth in relationship to the sun. The meteorological start of a season is based on annual temperature cycles and a 12-month calendar. And so according to this definition, each season is 3 months long. And spring starts on March the 1st, summer starts on June the 1st, autumn on September the 1st, and winter starts on December the 1st. So there's a couple of different ways that different people in the world will define a season. But I thought this was kind of interesting because as I was thinking about the seasons of our lives, the seasons on the earth are determined by the earth's position in relation to the sun. And oftentimes the season of our lives is determined by our position in relation to the sun. I don't remember when it was. It was back early this year. I preached a sermon that was about living on the border of the kingdom of God. And that sermon really had a lot to do with positioning. And, you know, if you think of the kingdom of God as a great big circle and you just envision God in the center of that circle, you know, we get to choose where in that kingdom we live. And I can live as close to the border of the kingdom as I possibly can, which really means I'm living as close to the world as I can get, right? And I'm living my life with this idea of how far away from God can I be and still be in the kingdom. And that's what people who live on the edge of the kingdom do. And their life is a reflection that they live on the edge of the kingdom. But there are people who choose. I mean, God gives all of the citizens of this kingdom equal access to himself. We get to choose how close we live. And when the Bible tells us to draw near to God and he will draw near to us, that drawing near is us moving inward into the kingdom of God, not being satisfied with living on the edge. And so, when I think about where in the kingdom I want to live, it makes me think about this idea of where I am in position, in relation to the Son. I want to be as close to God as I can get. And here's what I can tell you. I envision, when I just picture this in my mind, to me, that place is springtime. It's when all things are new. It's when everything's green and growing and thriving. But you know, the winters can be very long and cold and harsh when you're on the border of the kingdom. And I think it's important for us to realize that, yes, seasons are assured. You're going to go through seasons in your life, but you do have some amount of control over how you go through those seasons. We don't get to choose when someone dies. And that is a rough season. For people who have lost someone this year, this is the first Christmas season without that person. That's rough. For people who have just lost someone, probably every time that date rolls around, that becomes a rough season. But it doesn't have to be void of joy. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to become a hermit and just stay away from people. It doesn't have to be a time in your life when you can't put up with people because you're just so full of grief. You can experience grief and also experience joy in the same season. You have more to do with what season, maybe not the season you're in, but how you weather that season than you realize. And God uses these seasons in the natural world around us to teach us about how we can weather these seasons in our own lives. So this afternoon, I looked this up. I did it yesterday and today, and I got a little more detailed about it today. This afternoon, I went on this website, timeanddate.com. Now, I'm not endorsing the website. I'm just telling you where I got the information because this was kind of interesting. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, the hottest city on the planet. Now, I'm not saying there might not have been a spot, but the hottest city on the planet, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, but it looks like Asunción, Paraguay. It was 97 degrees there today at 3 o'clock. Interesting. At the same time, in Fairbanks, Alaska, it was minus 41 degrees. Now think that through. That's a 138 degree difference from the warmest city to the coldest city on the planet. But it's all happening on the same planet. And life is just kind of like that, isn't it? I mean, it, you know, my beautiful thriving spring is someone else's harsh, cold winter. We're all going through seasons, and in life, we're going through different seasons from the people around us. Thankfully, we're all going to weather this thing tonight together. But in life, we go through seasons at different times, and it makes things interesting for sure. But it's also what makes life very difficult. When one person is mourning, another person is rejoicing because a child is born. And this person shouldn't have to stop rejoicing because this person is in mourning, or vice versa. And so, seasons keep life interesting, but they also make it very difficult. They make it beautiful. They give us hope, but they can also make us very cynical if we're in a very long, trying season of life. We can use seasons to make us cynical, or we can use seasons to inspire us to move out of that season as quickly as possible. So God created a world, and it has four seasons. We get spring, summer, fall, and winter. And we happen to live in a part of the world where we get to actually experience all four of those. I mean, maybe not every year to the greatest degree, but we do. I have lived in this part of this Missouri my whole life, and I have experienced 16 to 18 inches of snow, and I have experienced a few winters where we got 2 to 3. I have experienced extreme heat. I have experienced extreme cold like we will tonight. We get to experience all four seasons, and it's beautiful. We have beautiful trees and flowers, and they bloom in the spring, and it's gorgeous. They get beautiful spring rains and sometimes some spring storms that accompany that. Temperatures are mild in the spring. It's a good thing. I like spring here, too. That's one of my favorites. But then it's followed by summer, and summer can sometimes be mild. We had a mild summer a few summers ago, but then last summer we hit about 2 weeks where we were over 100 degrees most of the time, and it was hot, and it was quite miserable if you had to be out in it for very long. We usually get beautiful falls, but every now and then it just goes from green to brown, doesn't it? I mean, this year I thought it was pretty good this year. And then winter, it's a toss-up, but we usually have some really cold. We usually have some snow. So we get to experience the four seasons. And what I want you to see is that we kind of all experience those four seasons in life. Not just in the natural world, but in life. And I want to talk about the seasons of our lives. Spring. Spring is a time of cleansing, time of refreshing. It's beautiful, and it represents visible growth. Now think that through. Visible growth. Trees and plants look like they are flourishing. Flowers bloom, and it just feels good, doesn't it? I mean, you just walk out. When you see those first little, what are those yellow flowers that daffodils, when the daffodils start popping up, and they do that pretty early. When you see those, I mean, it just, when you see those, it is just an indicator that things are getting ready to turn really green and really beautiful. And I love that. I like to watch that. I like seeing families in our church in the spring season. Why? Because they're just having babies and just the family is growing. And it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I mean, it really is a beautiful thing. I know it's hard when you run out of breath, but it's okay. The idea of it is beautiful. And it does get beautiful here in just a couple months, which you already know. So it's good, Hannah. Just hang in there. But we're just filled with hope, and I love seeing families that with young children that you just see the hope, you see the potential within those families and those kids, those toddlers that are running around, and it's just beautiful. I still at my age experience spring seasons in my life, and I love that. But here's what's interesting about spring is it usually comes, well, it always comes at the end of another season. A lot of time, I mean, metaphorically, it can come any, you know, after any season. But a lot of times it comes after a long, hard, cold, nasty, messy winter. But isn't that cool that we can rely and count on that being the case? So I like spring, and we go through spring seasons as human beings. Summer seasons, what we typically think of summer as dry and hot, but it's also bright and beautiful, and some people love the hot. I mean, some people, Joanne is a good example of that. I mean, the beach is just the best place to be, isn't it? And just, I mean, and you know what? I don't even mind being hot on the beach. But summer has wonderful things to offer us. And the thing that I love the most is just you walk outside and it's just sunny and it's just bright and it's just beautiful for no other reason than that. So summer has some great things about it, but it can get really hot. It can get really dry, and it requires us to intentionally water those things that were growing on their own for a while. Now, you think about that season of a Christian's life. You know, we watch people who come to this church, and it's such a fun thing to see someone come to church. And maybe they've gone to church somewhere else, or maybe they've never gone to church, but they come and they just get excited about the Word of God in their heart and their life and what they see God doing in their lives. They get excited about the Word of God working for them and what God wants to do in their heart and life. And they just have such zeal. And we've watched this. We've all been this person at some season of our Christianity, most likely. But then the new kind of wears off of that. And we're not in the Word as much. And we start getting a little bit dry and a little bit parched. We're not watering ourselves with the Word. We're not drinking of that living water that will nourish our souls. So summer can be great, but it requires us to do some work that we didn't have to do in the spring. Now, spring isn't void of work, but we have to do different things in different seasons to stay healthy and to be able to maintain joy and peace. In the fall, fall's a great one, and most of you, I mean, the one that had the most hands went up was fall. Why do we love fall? Well, it's the harvest. And when we think about this, can we just live in the harvest? Wouldn't that be awesome if we could just live in the harvest? I think about the harvest, it's an appointed time for us to sit back and enjoy the fruit of our labor. Just enjoying the fruit. You know, I think about when someone graduates. You graduate from high school, or you graduate from college, or sometimes they do graduations from kindergarten. Or someone, you know, gets married. I mean, they've been in a season where they were single, and suddenly they reap a harvest. They have children, and that those are moments when we're reaping something. We've sown for a season of time, and we're finally reaping. Those are beautiful times. But let me tell you something, there is no reaping. There is no harvest without the labor of sowing and tending. And so fall is wonderful, but it requires the other seasons in order for it to take place. And it's interesting, too, because I don't know if you think about this a lot, but when we see those beautiful leaves turning colors, they're just dying. So there's a whole lot of pruning that takes place. At the same time we're harvesting, we're pruning and being pruned. And in the time of harvest, we've also got to be prepared that if we want another harvest, there's got to be some pruning. There's got to be some dying and some cutting away that takes place in order for us to get the next harvest. So there's great things about harvest time, but harvest time can also be quite painful. We've got to be prepared for both. And in the wintertime, we know that in the natural, it can be long and harsh and cold and unforgiving. We've all gone through a season of life where we felt like that. But, you know, there's other things happening in the wintertime. In the wintertime, trees and plants, they're not dead. They don't look beautiful, but they're still growing. Their roots are growing. Their infrastructure is growing. The work that is being done in the wintertime is within. And it doesn't mean that growth isn't taking place. It just means we can't see it. That's why I said in spring, it's visible growth. So don't ever give up on someone just because they look like they're not growing. Now, sometimes they're not. You got to hear me on that. But sometimes there's just a season of time that we go through where I'm not telling you everything I'm doing, but I'm seeking God maybe on a level that I never have before. I'm in the Word. I'm doing things that aren't going to show up right now. I'm doing things that are going to help me to have a harvest, but gosh, that's two or three seasons away. But I'm still growing. My root system is going down deep. That's an important season, even though it's not the funnest season of them all. And so wintertime is really, as people, spiritually speaking, that's about inner growth. That's about spiritual growth and maturity and allowing God to work in us and being okay with it that nobody else knows about it. So we all go through seasons of life, and I think it's important sometimes that you realize some things about the seasons of life that we go through. And I want to ask you this, and then I'm gonna ask it, then I'm going to tell you. This isn't an exhaustive list, but these are the things the Lord just laid on my heart. And the question is this: what can we learn about and from the seasons of life that we go through? And the first one that I would say is this: we have to recognize that everyone is in a season. And we can't get so caught up in our own season that we don't recognize that someone else is in a different season. And there are just times when what is our favorite season and we're just on the top of the world, someone else is in the worst season of their entire lives. And it doesn't mean we can't rejoice, but we've got to have a heart for people who aren't in the place that we are. And we've got to have a heart that isn't in a place of judgment, but one of compassion and one that wants to reach out and help someone who's in that difficult season of life. So that's number one. You got to know what season you're in. Number two, you have to know that every season has something to teach us, something to celebrate, and something to overcome. Now you think that through. Every season has something to teach you, it has something to celebrate, and it has something to overcome. And we tend to get really hung up on the parts that we need, the things that need to be overcome. But don't ever be so stuck in that season that you don't recognize that God may be really trying to teach you something. And I really did mean it when I said, you know, what could God teach us about himself tonight? I'm not telling you that God's bringing this storm on. That's not at all what I'm saying, but he can sure teach us something about himself through it, can't he? So he's going to teach us. He's going to give us something to celebrate, and he's going to give us something, reveal to us something that we can overcome. Number three, we've got to learn to live in the season that we are in, but to always anticipate the next season. So you can't get so bogged down in the one you're in that you are fully convinced that you're never going to come out of it. Because if you do that, then you really don't have faith in God to bring you out of it. So you live in the season you're in. You've got to take what's right in front of you. I mean, if this is where I am, this is where I am. And I remember, many years ago talking to Angela Garby, and she was just talking about how it felt like laundry never ended, and how frustrating it was to just always have laundry. And you try and you try and you try, and you just do laundry 24/7, and there's never, ever a time when there's not laundry. Well, it's a season. And I just told her, I said, you know what? It's a season, and I really wasn't out of it either. I just had finally had someone else tell me it was a season. But I had settled into, this is the season I'm in. And I said, it's a season that you are in, and you can be mad about it, or you can decide, I'm just going to enjoy sitting here matching socks and searching for socks to match the ones that I happen to have in this basket. And, she came back a couple of weeks later, and she goes, I'm just telling you right now, I needed to hear that. Because she said, I was just getting mad. I was just sitting there for that 30 minutes that I was, every basket that I was folding, and how many do you do in a day? She said, every time I was folding a basket of laundry, I was just getting madder and madder. And she said, I needed that. All she had to do was realize, okay, I can either be mad about this or I can get glad about it. And she did. And she talked about that to me several times over the next few years. So you've got to live in the season you're in. The fact of the matter is, you've got a ton of laundry. But you can choose to just do the laundry and enjoy those little ones that are making the messes and creating the laundry, because you wouldn't want it any other way. So just enjoy the season you're in. But here's the other side of it. It's okay to anticipate the next. Now, do not be that person, especially those of you with little kids. Don't be that person. I can't wait till they can get in a car seat, until they can put themselves in. I can't wait till they can blah. I can't wait till they can this. I can't wait till they can that. Don't be that person. Enjoy the season you are in. My two youngest just graduated, and I'm telling you, it goes by too fast, and you will be so sad if you don't. And so enjoy and live in the season that you are in. It is an appointed time. Yes. It is a God-appointed time for you to do those things, and you can learn from them. You can grow from that, and you can overcome the frustration of that. And then the last thing is this. You've got to know seasons change. They always have, and they always will, until Jesus comes back. And then that sun is going to shine 24/7 all the time. It's not going to be too hot. It's not going to be too cold. It's going to be perfect. But until that happens, you can know seasons change. So every season is temporary. Even the good ones, even the ones where you are riding high. Why? Because we live in a fallen world, and the Bible tells us that in this world, we're going to have trouble. So we've got to know that things are temporary, but you've got a choice to make in that. You can get happy about it, or you can be as miserable as you want to be. So we go through seasons. Everybody goes through seasons as individuals. We go through seasons as families. We go through seasons as a church. You go through seasons in your business. You go through seasons in friendship, in parenting. In every part of life, we go through seasons. And I've been thinking a lot about the seasons of this church. And I've been now going to this church. In January, it'll be 17 years. So I've been going to this church for a long time. And we've gone through a lot of seasons in this church. The first week that Rick and I came, we were still in the shop building up here. And then on the Friday night of that week, we moved into the first section of the lower building. And we had a season where we had quilts and sheets hanging up as the walls for the church. But you know what? I love that we had leadership that said, you know what? This is a season. It won't always be like this, but we're just going to love the Lord and we're going to be obedient. We're going to do what he said during the season. And you know what? That season didn't last very long. And eventually we got walls and sheetrock and it started to look kind of normal. And then the next thing you know, there's too many people. And so we had to build another half the building, and that was a new season. And we had more bare walls. But it was kind of nice because it was very intimate down there, and you got to see everybody and talk to everybody, and that was a great season. Until we just couldn't fit everybody in there, until we had people lined up down the hallway standing because there was no place for them to sit. So we entered a new season, and we had to come up here. And I don't even remember what that thing was. I mean, when we first got in this building, there was some makeshift stage that we had up here that, and there was nothing else. I mean, everything was raw. But that was a new season. There was a season of time when life group, that's what we had. Singular. A single life group. The whole church was a life group. And we could go to anyone's house in the church, because no matter whose house it was, we could all fit in their yard. And we would have life group on Sunday nights. But, you know, eventually, and it was great. But eventually we got too big for that, and we started having to separate. And you know what? I had to separate from some of the people that I enjoyed most in life group. And I had to go over here, and they had to go over here. And it felt like a season that I didn't really like in the beginning. But guess what? I learned to love all the people over here. And I built relationships with people over here. Instead of being mad that it was that something had changed, you know, we've had people leave this church because we grew too much, and they didn't like that there was too many people here. And that's a hard thing, because I understand what they're saying. They liked the intimacy of a small group of people. But what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to stop people at the door and say, we're so sorry that you're here to hear the word of the Lord? But it's only for these people. You know, we can't. Growth is good, but it's painful sometimes. And there are people that have left, not because they were mad, but because just they got uncomfortable with the growth and the change that took place. And it was painful when they left, and we still miss them. But it was necessary if we were going to keep growing. And we used to talk, before we built this building, we were always talking about, we're doing things right now for people who haven't even heard of Christian Ministries Church yet. They don't even know where we are or that we exist. But we do a lot of things right now for those people. Why? Because seasons change, and we're expecting and anticipating that, and we're happy about it. It doesn't mean that it won't hurt in some way, but we're happy about it. Why? Because that's how we grow in the Lord. And I've lived through enough seasons, and I'm not even just talking about years, you know. I'm talking just about highs and lows, ups and downs. I've lived through enough seasons to know that all of them are what brought me to where I am now. And I'm not satisfied with where I am now. I'm thankful for the coming seasons that will take me even higher. So I'm not going to dwell on the part that's painful. I'm going to fix my eyes on the part that's going to make me grow. And, you know, when I think about I thought the word seasoned came to my mind. And I was just thinking about it, and I was like, what does it mean to be seasoned? Because if I've been through a lot of seasons in my life, that has to mean I'm seasoned. Well, what does it mean to be seasoned? Well, I looked it up, and this is pretty cool. It means to be experienced and suitable for use. What if you started seeing that difficult season that you're in as something that's making you suitable for use in the next season? What if you're going through something really tough and really hard right now because God is going to use that in you and through you to help someone else in that season? I'm okay with being seasoned if that means that I am suitable for God's use. I love that idea. And then I just want to leave you with one last scripture, because as you go through difficult seasons of life, I want you to remember this out of Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Whatever season you're in, God is in it with you, and yet he's already in your next season of life. Let's, as a church, let's not be the people that whine and complain and carry on. Now listen, if you're in a season of mourning, you cry. But you got to recognize when that appointed time has now come to an end and it's time to rejoice. It's time. We've got to recognize these seasons in our life, understand that they're all beneficial to us. And when we do that, God can really, really make us suitable for use through those seasons.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.